Will the Senate please come to order? Will members please vote to signify their presence?
The roll shows 17 members present. Senator Hoffman is excused.
Please stand for the invocation by Pastor Mike Rose of the Juno Christian Center.
Let's pray. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, we pause this morning to give you thanks for this beautiful day and to praise you for you do all things well. The Word of God tells us that every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights with whom is no variation or shadow of turning. God, we thank you that in a rapidly changing world, you're an unchanging God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we ask that you'll grant wisdom and understanding to the Senate today. And we pray for the people of this great state. We pray for those who are burdened with circumstances that are overwhelming. Thank you that you're a God who hears and answers prayer. And in 2 Chronicles 7:14, you said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Lord, help us to be in proper alignment with your purposes today. We pray special blessing upon people meeting around the world this Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. May the true meaning of Easter impact and bless our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Senator Ogun, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the secretary please certify the journal?
I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 87th legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Moving to ask unanimous consent, the journal be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, the journals will be approved as certified. Senator Ogun.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent that that prayer be spread upon the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread upon the journal. Brings us to introduction of guests. Senator Guest.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is my pleasure today. I have two constituents who are guest pages that I would like to introduce from my district. You will recognize their name, although their grandfather sat in your chair and their uncle is your favorite representative from Spinard. I will introduce the youngest first, being the youngest. Behind here is John Croft. He's a fifth grader at my alma mater, which is Chugach Optional School. He is following in his uncle and his grandfather's footsteps. He's on student council and has been for the last 4 years. His interests are hockey, which he was voted captain of his hockey team this year, camping, fishing, baseball, biking, and engineering. And he also plays piano. And in this corner is the other, the older of the Croft boys, James Croft, JC, is a sixth grader at Chugach Optional. He is currently enrolled in the Ignite program and choosing between Romig and Central this for next year. And his interests also include hockey, camping, fishing, baseball, cooking, and computers. And he plays violin in the Elementary Honors Orchestra. Slight overachievers, but we are very proud of them. They live in Nunaka Valley in my district with their father and mother, their father who was an elementary school classmate of mine. So if you would please welcome to this body JC and John Croft.
Senator Ogun.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm real pleased to have a very special young lady in my life that's in the gallery behind me. Stand up. Welcome my daughter, Laura.
Additional guests, Senator Elton.
Thank you, Mr. President. In both of the galleries, we have students from the Juno Douglas Choice Program, the Choice Program at the high school here. They've been in the building today interviewing different members, trying to figure out what we do and how we do it. They're accompanied today by their teacher, Lori Roberts Scandling, who has been a community leader for a long time in Juno. And this year, was all of her efforts over the decades have been recognized with her being named one of the women of distinction in my community. So if the body could help me welcome Lori Roberts Gambling and her students.
Additional guests? Seeing none, brings us down to messages from the governor.
Message dated April 6th, stating, on this date, I have signed the following bill passed by the second session of the 23rd Alaska Legislature, and I'm transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copy to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. HCS for CS for Senate Bill Number 63, Community and Regional Affairs, Extend Alaska Commission on Aging, Chapter 12, SLA 2004. And House Bill Number 98, Sport Fishing Seasons for Youth, Chapter 13, SLA 2004. Those are all the messages from the governor.
Messages from the House?
Message dated April 7th, stating the House has passed the following and it is returned. Senate Bill Number 264, Repeal Pipeline Pre-Application Deadline. It has been referred for enrollment. Message dated April 7th, stating the House has concurred in the Senate amendment to CS for House Bill Number 397, Judiciary, thus adopting Senate CS for CS for House Bill Number 397, Judiciary, Defense Contacts with Victims and Witnesses. Messages dated April 7th, stating the House has passed the following and they are transmitted for consideration. CS for House Joint Resolution Number 41, Resources, by the House Resources Committee, relating to support for the Federal Land Recreational Visitor Protection Act.
State Affairs and Resources.
CS for House Joint Resolution Number 44, Resources Amended, by the House Resources Committee, relating to research into the decline of the Southwest Alaska population of the Northern Sea Otter in the Western Gulf of Alaska.
Resources and Finance.
CS for House Bill Number 339, Judiciary, by the House Judiciary Committee, an act relating to opt-out marketing plans for sales to free trial periods for goods or services and to acts that are unlawful as unfair trade practices.
Labor and Commerce and Judiciary.
CS for House Bill Number 405, Education, by the House Special Committee on Education, an act relating to reports on school and school district performance and relating to accountability of public schools and school districts and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Hess.
CS for House Bill Number 496, State Affairs, by the House State Affairs Committee, an act creating the Youth Vote Ambassador Program and relating to that program, authorizing the members of the program to be appointed to serve on election boards, relating to qualifications for appointment to election boards and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Judiciary.
Those are all the messages from the House.
Communications?
I have no communications.
Reports of standing committees.
The Resources Committee considered Senate Bill Number 318, Consumptive Use of Fish and Game, and recommends a Resources Committee substitute, New Zero Fiscal Note, signing Do Pass, Senator Ogun Chair, Senators Seekins, Ben Stevens, signing Do Not Pass, Senators Elton Wagner, signing no recommendation, Senator Lincoln, signing amend, Senator Dyson. The bill has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 336, Corrections, Fees, Surcharge, and recommends adoption of the previous Judiciary Committee substitute. Previous fiscal note, signing due pass, Senators Green, Wilkin, co-chairs, Senators Dyson, Ben Stevens. Signing no recommendation, Senator Bundy. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Senate Bill Number 385, Security, Division of Homeland Security, Emergency Management, and recommends a HES committee substitute. New indeterminate fiscal note, signing due pass, Senator Dyson, Chair, Senator Wilkins. Signing no recommendation, Senators Guest, Davis. The bill has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 31, HES, Traumatic Brain Injury Awareness Month, and recommends a HES Senate Committee substitute. Previous zero fiscal note, signing due pass, Senator Dyson Chair, Senators Guest, Davis, Wilkin. The resolution has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. Those are all the standing committee reports this morning.
Reports of special committees?
I have no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 24 by the Senate Judiciary Committee, suspending rules 24C, 35, 41B, and 42E Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature concerning House Bill Number 252 relating to boards under AS 0801.
Briefings, please. Senate, come back to order. Senate Concurrent Resolution 24 is a title change resolution that goes along with House Bill 252, which was amended in Senate Judiciary. So the concurrent resolution will be held on the Secretary's desk and will be brought up if and when House Bill 252 is scheduled. See, that completes the introduction of Senate resolutions, introduction of Senate bills.
I have no Senate bills for introduction.
Brings us down to the daily calendar. We have no new bills on the calendar at this time. Reconsideration on Senate Bill 329 is available. Was there an intent to bring 329 up today, Mr. Minority Leader? Okay. Senator Guess?
Actually, yes. I was going to bring up reconsideration.
Okay, if you'd like to, please.
If you don't mind. Thank you, Mr. President. I ask for reconsideration of CS for Senate Bill 329 at this time.
Without objection, reconsideration. Or actually, there's no objection on that. Reconsideration for 329 has been brought up.
CS for Senate Bill number 329, Resources, an act relating to control of nuisance moose.
We are in third reading. Senator Guest.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to bring up 329 to make a few comments on the record and to the sponsor. We did talk to the Department of Fish and Game yesterday, who are actually nervous about this bill. And it is not going to change my vote, but I would respectfully request that a couple things may be considered in the other body, which I think would improve the bill. One is some type of recovery and proper disposal of these darts when there are in urban areas. Because right now, although it may be a requirement that the electronic system is used, because right now it's not used anywhere in the state of Alaska. And the other is some guidelines about when these are used in urban areas that provide some guidelines, at least or some regulation on the safety of those. These, at least I've learned in the last 24 hours, these darts are dangerous. And if they are laying around and if they haven't run into anything, they could be very dangerous around our schools and our community. So I just respectfully ask when this goes to the other body that the sponsor may look into some basic safety guidelines. Thank you.
Do we have further debate? Seeing none, the question before the body is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 329, Resources, pass the Senate on reconsideration? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
15 yeas, 4 nays.
By a vote of 15 yeas, 4 nays, committee substitute for Senate Bill 329, Resources, has passed the Senate. Brings us down to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business? Senator Wilken.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've checked with the bill sponsor on the House side, and the two following bills are available for cross-sponsorship. I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a cross-sponsor for House Bill 213, having to do with a graduated driver's license.
Senator would like to be shown as a cross-sponsor, along with Cowdery, Bundy, Ben Stevens, Elton, Wagner, and Dyson.
Mr. President, move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a cross-sponsor for House Bill 25, titled the Healthcare Directives, commonly known as the Five Wishes Campaign.
Senator would like to be shown as a cross-sponsor, along with Senator Dyson and Bundy. Other unfinished business? Seeing none, it brings us down to announcements. I will announce that under Uniform Rule 30 sub D, the reconsideration for Senate Joint Resolution 3 will be carried forward till Monday. Do we have any other unfinished business? Or Tuesday, excuse me, Tuesday. I'm sorry. Do we have any other unfinished business? Seeing none brings us, down to announcements. Do we have announcements? No announcements, special orders. Senator Bundy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move and ask unanimous consent that I have the leave of the floor to speak of pending legislation and our guests.
Without objection, go ahead.
Mr. President, this morning the Senate Finance Committee is taking up a bill that is sponsored, or did take up a bill that is sponsored by the representative from Juneau that would involve a graduated driver's license. I know we have guests here who are of an age group that would be most directly affected by a graduated driver's license. I would request that they take a look at the rationale behind this bill, the impacts of the bill, and communicate with us their views on the graduated license bill, and our thanks for their involvement in their government.
Any other special orders? Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be granted the special leave of the body to talk on the subject of recent decisions.
Without objection, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yesterday, a Superior Court judge threw out a law that we passed, or a few of us passed, I guess we all passed it last year, regarding public interest litigants. The law, as you may remember, did away with a long-standing exception to the rule in Alaska that losers pay in court. The exception was carved out for special interest groups, groups that bring suits on behalf of the public interest. Those groups operate in the nature of the public interest, bringing suits that no one else will bring and suits that no one else can afford to bring, and they do it on behalf of the citizenry at large. The law that we passed did away with their special exception and put them on the hook for lawyers' fees and put them under the threat, if you will, of enormous awards of attorney's costs, which would prevent them from bringing these necessary suits. It was a barely fought a battle here, Mr. President. I, along with many of my colleagues, voted against this law, and at the time, we said that this law would soon be tossed out on its ear by a court once it got there. Yesterday, a Superior Court judge here in Juneau proved us right. A group of a broad array of groups took that law to court. Groups representing the disabled, groups representing native interests, groups representing sport fishing interests, groups representing political parties and conservation groups all banded together, brought a suit against this law, and they were victorious in the Superior Court on the grounds, one, that the law required a two-thirds vote because it affected a court rule change, and two, because the law basically denied equal protection to the citizens of Alaska in their access to the courts and their lawful right to bring suits against the government and other agencies where they're so highly outgunned in terms of their financial resources. So we, I applaud that decision on the behalf of the Superior Court. I think it preserves every Alaskan's right to go to court and take on forces that are wildly disproportionate to have wildly disproportionate financial resources. I think that anyone who supports the disabled, anyone who supports conservation groups, anyone who supports sports fishers or political parties should rejoice today in that decision, and I hope you will join me in doing so. Thank you, Mr. President.
Do we have other special orders? Senator Ogun.
Thank you. I'm getting ready to go fishing this weekend, and I think I just rose to take a strike at the bait. But if I may leave the body to do a special order on the same subject.
Without objection, go ahead.
Thank you. A number of years ago, back when Ramona Barnes was still with us in the legislature and in the world, she hosted a group from Sauklin over here. And the idea of that group was to give people from Russia the opportunity to see, to talk about oil and gas development policy, because they're an up-and-coming player in the world oil and gas field with some major reserves over there that are being developed, and a lot of Alaskan firms are doing business over there. And I remember I said, you know, one of the things you need to watch for is that in our country, people can sue the oil companies, and then our government pays, or sue to block development, our government pays them to do that. And I remember the puzzled look on their face. They just were like, what? No, I'm not saying we should run things like Russia. But it was a concept that was like, you do what? You pay, the government pays people to sue them. And yeah, so just so you know, that's one of our policies. But I'll never forget the looks on their faces, how puzzled they were, that because they were, those people over there were literally, they're breaking into capitalism. You know, it was right after the communist regime fell, and there was a lot of excitement and about the opportunities to develop their resources and have jobs and those types of things. So, just interesting. It was an interesting reaction to that, and they were puzzled. Now I kind of wish that some of the groups that we already do our resource development better than anybody in the world. Alaska exports its resource technology all over the world. We set the standard. And I wish some of these groups that focus on Alaska and their international groups would go to some of these places where they aren't doing a good job, where pipelines go through communities and children play regularly around pools of oil and and their drinking water is contaminated. And what it's done is it's shifted resource development from our country to foreign sources where they don't have environmental protections and they don't have frivolous, litigious groups that want to stop every development. And we are in a crisis in our country, an energy crisis, in part because of that. So now while I feel that people need their due process and equal protection rights, some of these groups that were litigating, there were people that were professional litigators. That's what they did. So we'll see at the end of the day what happens, but we just need to be mindful that a lot of this development and our dependency on energy as a country is going offshore. Representative Young, Congressman Young, talked to us today and talked about all the businesses that are going offshore in our country because he gave the example of there was a big air conditioning company they're going offshore. They're going offshore because if a 25-year-old air conditioning unit goes belly up while it's during a heat wave and somebody has a health problem because of that, they get sued. And so this litigious society of ours is driving a lot of businesses offshore. And that's one of the discussions we had with Congressman Young today. So for what it's worth, we're about to enjoy a few days off, and I won't wax on anymore because we all want to get out of here. It's a nice day out in Juneau. But wanted to put that on the record. Thanks.
Other special orders, Senator Guest.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask leave of the body to speak on recent compromises.
Without objection, go ahead.
I'm not going to respond to the other two speakers, but I did want to bring to the attention there. We've been doing a lot of other things the last 24 hours, an article in today's paper. There has been a recent compromise between the students with disabilities and the state regarding the high school qualifying exam, and I encourage everyone to learn about that because the compromise is one where they are asking us, again, to take the lead in clarifying the law, and that is what the compromise is about. It is not postponing this until next year. It is postponing into the summer until this body can stand up and actually find some compromise, or not even a compromise, just some clarification to the current law, which is at fault. And we are now with 30 days or less than 30 days left, and we still, even though this is one of the few issues it seems that hasn't been partisan on this floor, that we can't seem to work with and to move forward on this situation. I talked to the Commissioner of Education yesterday. They are looking to us to clarify the law. It is our job to clarify the law. I think there is good on both sides of the aisle, good bills in that does that. So I'm looking to you, Mr. President, on this issue and many others to try to lead us through a situation where we can't wait 30 more days. We can't wait after 30 more days. We can't wait until next year. We need to resolve this. We did make a mistake before. I've apologized for my role. It was the unintentional consequences of the last bill, not the intentional ones. And the court is now looking to us, the administration is now looking to us, and kids with disabilities are now looking to us to clarify what the intent is of this legislature. Thank you.
Any further special orders? Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be granted the special privilege of the floor to discuss briefly the will of the voters.
Without objection, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. This past Tuesday, a great majority of voters in my community who turned out to vote, and I wish the turnout had been higher, but a majority of voters came forward on an advisory question and recommended that the Alaska legislature pass a fiscal plan, a comprehensive fiscal plan for the state this year. In recognition of the dire financial circumstances the state finds itself in, the fact that we haven't gotten our fiscal house in order over the last decade or so, the voter frustration was expressed in the largest community of the state and gave direction to us. And I know the majority leader was quoted as saying that he didn't understand that direction, and did they mean for us to spend more, to spend less, and kind of questioning what the voters meant. And while it is absolutely true that the voters did not go into any detail, they did send a very clear message. That's undeniable, that a clear message was sent by a majority of the voters in the municipal election in my community, our community, that the legislature should work together on a fiscal plan, a package that would deal with our financial situation here in the state of Alaska. And so I appreciate the voters. I appreciate those who put that question, advisory question, on the ballot. I appreciate the folks who talked about it and campaigned on it. And I appreciate the voters in pretty significant numbers telling us that that's what we should be focused on in the remainder of this session. So on my part, there was no confusion. I think it was very clear. And again, to the majority leader, they did not go into detail. They were not asked to consider the details of a state fiscal plan. And I think if you asked them, they would say, that's up to you. That's why we elected you. That's why we sent you to Juneau to work on a real comprehensive fiscal plan that would truly address the fiscal situation of the state of Alaska. So there's a lot of frustration out there, Mr. President, and I think our direction is clear. Thank you.
Senator Dyson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Permission to speak on the same subject?
Without objection, go ahead.
Yeah. I appreciate what the minority leader said, and that's why I was proud of this body taking up yesterday the first step in the fiscal plan. And I believe if the issue of a spending cap had been on the ballot, it would have passed by 85 or 90%. Certainly the polls all show at least 65% support a spending cap, and I'm glad to see that there's a continuing commitment to building a fiscal plan that will work and that people of Alaska will be satisfied with. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Request permission to speak on lack of components of a fiscal plan.
Without objection, go ahead.
Mr. Speaker, you know me pretty well in my short period of time here, but I don't negotiate through the media. The concept of a fiscal plan begins with the introduction of legislation to address those concerns. And the concern is, obviously, across the state, a lack of revenues to meet the amount of spending that we do here. But, Mr. President, we can go and look through this book and find legislation that's been introduced by the previous speaker, or find legislation that's been introduced by members of his party. Can we find them? Can we find pieces of legislation that's been introduced by the minority that addresses the fiscal plan by raising revenue, other than the constitutional spending limit, that we have to get permission from the people to do our job? Mr. President, you've introduced legislation. I've introduced legislation. The other bodies introduced legislation. The people in Alaska sent us, people in Anchorage sent us down here to solve the job, to do the job. The question of the people in Anchorage is, who's introducing legislation to solve the problem? He can sit there with a little smile on his face and say that I'm not the one that's introducing the legislation. That's not true. I can name them. A fiscal plan begins with the debate we had yesterday that says we are going to put fiscal constraints on the spending of state government before we go to the public to take their money to pay for the services that other people demand. So when we hear the fact that we are not doing anything for a fiscal plan, I'd be happy to print, and I am happy to print, the legislation I've introduced that takes a vote of 11 to solve the problem. So if the concept of us not working and trying, all I can say is, boy, you know, we're going to be here a long time. Because it doesn't take me, or doesn't take, a majority of us yesterday to say we are working towards a fiscal plan, but the number one thing is hold back the spending. Don't just let it go. There is a spending limit in place, and we all know that it's set the ceiling that could never be attainable with the amount of money that we could raise. So I take issue with the minority leader's comments about me from Anchorage not addressing the fiscal plan because I have introduced legislation that does just that. It raises money. Show me your legislation that raises money. Thank you, and have a happy Easter.
Do we have other special orders? Senator Elton.
Same topic, Mr. President.
Without objection, go ahead.
Well, there have been pieces of legislation introduced by others that don't serve in the majority, and I'm proud of what they have done. I would note that probably the most prominent one of those was introduced by the senator from District M, who has suggested that we go back and we relook at an oil tax regime that means that we collect the same amount from multinational corporations at $34 a barrel oil that we collect at $9 a barrel oil. Something that I would suggest probably needs an awful lot of attention, but unfortunately it hasn't been able to garner a hearing in the committee in which it resides. I would also note that a plan isn't one tactic. I mean, to get to a plan, I mean, if we define a plan as a political goal, then there are strategies and there are tactics. I mean, we've had one tactic on the floor. And what was that tactic? The tactic was, let's keep ourselves from spending more. I would suggest we have done a great job over the last decade in constraining spending. All you have to do is compare us to the other states. We're better than 49 other states in our ability to constrain spending. We've done a good job. And what has happened? I mean, what has happened is we're spending down our savings account at the rate of hundreds of millions of dollars a year. The chief executive of the state of Alaska has said we can't continue to do this. He wants a plan this year. And the only plan we've voted on is to continue to do what we've done, not spend. That's not a plan. That's a tactic. That's an element of a potential plan. And so I take a little bit of umbrage at the notion that we've had a plan in front of us, because that plan only says continue to do what you're doing. And in fact, I believe the spending cap that was on the floor yesterday gives us the ability to spend more than we've been spending in the past. So the suggestion that we've had a plan in front of us is specious. Thank you, Mr. President.
Other special orders? Senator Dyson.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't hear anyone say that we've had plan before us.
You need to ask for permission if you're going to speak under special orders.
Permission to respond to the previous speaker's remarks, please.
Without objection, go ahead.
Thank you. I didn't hear anyone say that the first piece that was rolled out here yesterday was a plan. It was very clear that this is a step and a small step. And the idea that anybody represented it as a plan is something I didn't hear, and certainly I, as the sponsor of the bill, didn't put forward. I thought I was very clear that it was a step, a foundation piece, and that there would be many more pieces coming forward, I believe, and I resent the implication that it was specious.
Other special orders? Senator Ogden.
Thank you, Mr. President. I know I've spoken once, and I'll be short.
I'm not sure that Mason's 102 applies to special orders, unfortunately.
Okay,
so
well, move now, especially that I'm be able to do a special order on the same subject.
Without objection, go ahead.
Now, building a plan is like building a house. And the first thing you do when you build a house, if you're a wise builder, is you either build it on a good foundation or build it on rock. And a house just doesn't happen. Boom. I mean, you have to have your masons come in and lay the foundation. And then you have the framers come in, and then you frame it, and then you put a roof on top of it. And then you start to close it in, and you wire it, and you plumb it, and you sheetrock it, and you finish it out. And building a fiscal plan is just like that. We need to lay a foundation first. And I believe the measure we had before us yesterday was that foundation. We have to say, okay, this is our policy. First thing we're going to do is we're going to limit spending. Mr. President, if you know, even the measure that I personally introduced and supported and voted for an amendment on amendment yesterday of enshrining the dividend. I worry about that, because once we enshrine that dividend, that opens up the rest of the money for spending. And government grows in direct proportion to the amount of money available to spend. And so I really feel very, very strongly that that foundation of that plan was what we, the measure that we had on the floor yesterday. Thank you.
Senator Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. President. Permission to speak on a plan.
Without objection, go ahead.
Mr. President, it's too bad that we can't talk about a plan without voices rising and throwing darts at one another, because I think that might be one of the reasons why we haven't gotten to that overall plan. When I was not planning to stand up, but when I'm told that as a minority member that I don't have, as part of my group of minorities, a plan or pieces of legislation in the this summary of legislation, of which there are 550 House bills, of which there are 384 Senate bills, that I don't have in here as a minority member, a part of that plan, that's wrong. Because the minority does have pieces in here for a fiscal plan. And the minority has been willing to sit down and talk about a plan. But what you have heard over and over again, and I concur with, is that we can't take a piece and say, this is part of a plan. I wished I had my notes from yesterday, because repeatedly we did hear discussion about this being part of a comprehensive plan. I quote from a news release from the administration, who says, this was the first piece of a fiscal plan. That's a quote that just came out. It's the first piece of a fiscal plan. And all I want to do is to see the rest of that plan. As my previous speaker friend who talked about building a house, you don't build that house without a plan, a full plan. You don't build that house without knowing how much you're going to spend on that house. You don't build that house without knowing how you're going to pay for that house. You don't build that house without knowing how large it's going to be, what the accommodations for that house are intended to be. So I agree. This fiscal plan should be just like building a house. And everybody has a say into what that house is going to look like and what we can afford. Mr. President, again, when we talked yesterday about a fiscal plan and that being a first part of it, and maybe the senator behind me didn't refer to a plan, but certainly others in this body referred to a plan. Minority and majority referred to a plan when they were talking about it. I don't know what our total expenses are yet. I don't know what our total income stream is yet. We don't know what's happening with our gas line that we all embrace. We know that one of the majors has walked away from that. And that major was talking about that piece of the plan, that piece of the income, not coming on stream until 2015, I believe it was. So we know we have to fill a gap, a fiscal plan of how we're going to pay for these expenses that we've got. I, as a minority member, I'm willing to help with that. I'm willing to sit down with the majority and work on a plan. What I'm not willing to do is to look at this building of this house and to say, we don't know how we're going to pay for it. We don't know what we're going to charge. We haven't gone to the banks yet.
We have no idea what the interest is, all of those pieces. But we're just going to show you what we believe the house is going to look like, and you just put your stamp of approval on that piece of it. Well, I want to see, and as a representative of this state of Alaska, I think that's my fiduciary responsibility, to know what the overall whole plan is. And once we get to that, then I think we can all sit down and not yell at one another and think that it's being spoken just directly to one individual here on this floor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any other special orders? Senator Stedman.
Special orders, Mr. President. I would like the opportunity to add a couple of comments to previous messages.
Without objection, go ahead.
I think it's exactly what we're doing. We are putting together a plan. It comes in pieces, just like buildings, plans come in pages. You don't start at the back and work forward. You start at the bottom and you work up. And this is going to take some time, and the options we have are fairly limited. So it's nothing overly complex. But clearly, if there are some people that want to come forward in this body with a complete plan and dump it on the table for discussion, I would suggest that they get an accelerated effort to doing that, because there's several ideas in or bills pending in numerous committees that are working through and heading this direction, and they all target the gap. And I haven't heard of any discussion to reduce state spending to a point to filling the gap. They all look at revenue increases for the state, either through the use of the permanent fund or additional taxes, whether they be sales, income, or ELF. So we have the mosaic in front of us. It's just a matter of going through the process and putting it together under a bipartisan approach. And clearly, we need to get this done sooner versus later. And with that, Mr. President, I'm looking forward to Easter and starting next week, so the mosaic will come in clearer view of many members. Thank you.
Further special orders? Senator Guess.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask permission of the body to speak on the same subject.
Without objection, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wasn't going to rise because I think I haven't heard a better special order than that from my senator from Rampart in her accuracy of what has happened the last 24 hours. But after my friend behind me spoke, as someone who was part of the Fiscal Policy Caucus, I just had to say a few things. The process so far is not one that pulls everyone together. Process might be one that provides internal alignment somewhere else, but there hasn't been internal alignment, nor has there been an attempt in my mind on this floor. Now, I appreciate the majority leader and others putting in parts of that plan. People in my caucus have put in a POMV, have put in a dividend protection, and have put in a change in oil revenue. And of course, as usual, our bills don't move, at least don't seem to get to this floor. So I think it's disingenuous to say that people haven't put components on. I think it's disingenuous to say that we're not here to try to solve the state's problems. But what we're not here to do is be dictated to. Now, we are members just like, we are elected just like everyone else. If you would like to work with us, our doors are open in a coordinated effort. And I know that can happen because I was part of a group that did it 2 years ago. It's not easy, and it's not always fun, but it can happen. So if there is, you know, I don't know if yesterday was a plan or not. The sponsor says it wasn't. The third floor says it was. You know, a member to my left says it was. Someone else says it wasn't. But I think we were pretty clear yesterday. We didn't reject the sidebars. We said there's three things that are important: education, protecting the dividend, and we not only want to see the rest of the plan, you know, we would like our opinions to actually be respected and to be at the table. I don't think that's irresponsible to this body or the state. I think that is the responsible thing to do. You know, we do now go into break, and it is going to be up to the leadership of this body to decide whether we come back and work in good faith, or if we keep going, as my friend to my left has said, you know, keep jabbing each other for election purposes. And that is going to be, that is the burden of leadership. And I will wait for your response after Easter. Thank you.
Further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader, now you started this.
No, I can finish it too, Mr. Majority Leader.
Your topic?
The topic is that we request permission to leave the body for those that are listening.
Without objection,
Mr. President, there are people listening. In our building, we all know that people pay attention to what we say to each other on this floor. It just so happens that people were listening to what was being said. And I just happened to have someone that did a quick review of BASIS. And for those of us that know what BASIS is, it monitors the movement and the status of all legislation introduced by both members, all members in this building. And it just to address some of the concerns, it might come to the attention that there's legislation introduced by the minority that has passed both bodies, and that number is 10. 10 bills have passed both bodies this session. Far more than I've passed, I can tell you that, individually. I don't have 10 bills passed. Bills that have moved from committee to committee this year, just on this side, in this body, Mr. President, 22 bills have moved through committee, or moving through committee, with movement through our committee system. Mr. President, how many bills have passed by minority members that appropriate funds, that have a fiscal note? I can tell you I've never passed a bill that has a positive fiscal note to the state. Never. And I probably don't expect any of mine that had a fiscal note would pass. Five bills passed by the minority that increased spending have passed. But here's the one that closes my statement, Mr. President. How many pieces of legislation introduced by the minority that raise revenue to address the fiscal problem? Money from the one industry we depend on the most, and if that's the fiscal plan that's being introduced, is to load that camel with more straws and say, take us home through the desert, pal. Well, that fiscal plan is not what I approve of, and I'm a no vote on that bill until we have other sources of revenue, and those are things that majority members have introduced. Thank you for the latitude, Mr. President, and I see we'll be here a long time.
Senator Elton.
Thanks. Permission to speak on short-term memory loss.
Without objection, go ahead.
I'd like to remind the previous speaker that on the floor this week, we had a bill with a fiscal note of $4 million for 1 year, $25 million over the course of 6 years, that he was a yes vote on. That was the vote on forced accounting. I'd like to remind the previous speaker that earlier this week, we had a bill in which it was pointed out that the state would lose $6 million while gaining $4 million for a cost of $2 million to the state. That was the bill that recommended mandatory boroughs in the unorganized borough. He was a yes vote. So it's easy, I think, sometimes, and we sometimes get wrapped up in the way we see the world. And I understand that because that happens to me too. But it's sometimes easy to forget that what we accuse other people of, we're sometimes guilty of at the same time. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any further special orders? Seeing none, Mr. Majority Leader.
We stand in adjournment until 3 p.m. Tuesday, April 13th.
3 o'clock on Tuesday. Enjoy your Easter break.